right. Look, so what I think I'll do is I'll just very quickly, as fast as I can, to give you some time for discussion, is just give you a reflection on the various talks and the themes and issues that came up for me as being interesting and worth pursuing, many of which have been picked up, of course, in these summaries. And I'm just going to do it chronologically and just foreground those issues and maybe conclude with five or six key points and then see where that takes us. In Simon's presentation, I thought it was very interesting because of his approach to the project in terms of systems and in terms of processes, in terms of how a project is positioned and how the project develops relationships and communications. And then, of course, that aspect of mapping the stakeholders and the histories that develops a kind of collective memory which is archived of where we are and where we could go. And all of that, I think, is adding tremendously to the weight of the project and to its potential to do many of the things that were prompted in terms of community involvement and so on. Marco's remarkable work triggered for me all kinds of ideas that relate to the project, and beyond that, of course, I thought a few things that stood out for me was a kind of advocacy for a performativity, the way in which, through these shamanistic projects, there's a kind of a sense of a contemporary ceremonial aspect to projects, that they are in a way developing new forms of ritual which involve people in activities that build community, that build capacity, that go beyond the immediacy of the project into something much greater and much more human in a way. I also love this idea of there always being something missing in the project, that doing the project was in fact trying to discover what the project was rather than proposing something in advance. And I think this is a really interesting way to frame this project. And I think it's very much the way Wolfgang is seeing it, not as something predictive, but something provisional that might go somewhere else. I also like the idea of a recuperation of some kind of lost relationship with the world, nature if you like, but it might be with community. It's this idea of recovery, of memory, of trying to make palpable something that is disappearing or becoming forgotten or destined to oblivion. There was also a whole dimension of the work as parasitic, which I thought was very interesting, that somehow the work develops out of an existing situation rather than a tabula rasa. Every project is kind of always already contextualized in some way. And that's a great lesson from contemporary architects who tend to think of a site as an empty plot that has no history. But here, and with all the projects that Marco presented, certainly, the history is in a way the founding ground of where the project goes and how it develops. And essentially it was about making connections. So the idea of connectivity, whether it's connecting to the environmental systems here at Dunstan or to the communities that form networks, past communities, current communities, it's about the in-between, the interstice, and the way in which you make relays and connect. So the project becomes a trigger or a kind of it becomes a catalyst, but not for creating an object, for creating systems and processes that then have their own life and can become what they will become. The movement into the machinic, the sort of third generation machine, the urban acupuncture, I thought all of that was very interesting because it suggests for me in relation to this project that it too is a kind of enabling infrastructure. It could become an enabling infrastructure. It could enable many, many different sorts of things, physical, environmental, communal, political, and so forth. And so the notion of the machine and the apparatus and the insertion that might be the boat or it might be something else that somehow reactivates and unclenches this structure to become something else. Also, there was something about, I think I'm quoting you, tuning the whole city towards the organic. I like very much the musical analogy of tempering and adjusting almost as if you're tuning an instrument. It's not about coming up with some new idea, but it's about testing the sound capacity of the instrument that you've got to see what it can produce, what sounds it can produce, and then how you can get those sounds to harmonize or to connect with each other. I've mentioned before this idea of not predetermining the end or designing the end in a way, that the work comes to be in the process of its making. So it's not design or the art practice is not predictive but provocative. And I think that came up in a number of occasions where it was about provocation rather than projecting or predicting some end result. The idea of transactional processes was very very much foregrounded in a lot of what the speaker said, but also in the comments that I was listening out for from yourselves. I really love the idea of smuggling something in. The Trojan horse analogy was great. So in Marco's work, it seemed to me, and this was my reaction as I told him, was that the work somehow seemed to always exceed any designs we might have for it. It's always bigger than we think it is. It always goes somewhere other than where we think it might go. And so it has an import. I love that word, that it somehow is important because it has an import and that it imparts something. So how is it that once this project is made and continues to be made, it imparts, it gives something? So there's that generosity and the idea of the gift. And the other aspect that was really striking for me in Marco's work was, although I think, you know, it's problematic in the way that it's often talked about, but it's always about healing in some way, making whole. Angus's work, very strong sense of community engagement, that sustainability is mobilized through engagement with people. And is not some sort of, vision an individual might have of what's true or not true. I like very much the sense of crisis that was implicit in a lot of the work. He spoke about juxtaposition, collision, violation. He said that anger was a useful emotion. And that led me to think that we often underestimate the capacity of our built heritage to resist and to sustain quite a bit of change, that we think these objects, these settings are somehow fragile and that we must not touch them and we must be very careful with them. Yes, we need to be very careful, but a construction like the stage is capable of sustaining an enormous amount of interference. And so, I like that. I like this idea somehow that the setting can resist, it has the capacity to resist, and we can exercise its capacity to resist. I like very much the idea of the ruinous and the unrescuable. In a way, by so completing a work, for example, by filling in the gap, what we're doing is we are consigning the thing to an entropy rather than recovering something that it can become. So what came out of that for me was that it's not what a thing is, but what a thing can become. It's in its becoming that it's interesting, the way in which, for example, the state has become something different now. It has become a wildlife reserve. What can it become rather than what is it? I think in Malcolm's presentation, I was very much struck by the idea of art having a transformative function and role, and the idea of the ephemeral, and also this politicization of art, that art should be it should be fully conscious of its political agency and its capacity to provoke, but not to provoke in a constructive way rather than a destructive way. So my question at the end of that presentation was how does a militant art practice render the change of function, the change of purpose, what something will become, how does a militant art practice render that change an imperative? In other words, we have no choice. It compels us to do something. So how can we do something at Dunstan that compels people of the different constituencies and the different stakeholders, compels them to act and to promote the change rather than to sit back and observe it as some kind of passive object? In Alice's project, I liked very much the idea of how art can trigger a shift in people's perceptions. The idea of the artist as someone who adapts, who translates, who makes accessible, in some cases, scientific data or various other kinds of information and knowledge. The idea of art being something that moves us, as opposed to science, which might instruct us or inform us. And then, of course, the whole multidisciplinary, I should say transdisciplinary, in a way, practice, where you're involving people of different kinds of knowledge, where the communication and the transactions far exceed any of the individual disciplines. They take those disciplines somewhere else. So it's not just multidisciplinary, which exists at the same level, but it's transdisciplinary in the sense that it takes everyone beyond the limits of their own experience and knowledge. And then the idea of art as somehow mobilizing and informing and mobilizing communities, in fact helping new communities to become evident or to foreground new communities. So they were the key ideas, the idea of art and the very problematic nature of art. That came up in a lot of the discussions. I wish we could talk about it in other terms, that we didn't say art, because art has such baggage associated with it. That it is about informing, it's about making accessible something that people maybe didn't think was accessible. It's about representing knowledge in new ways. It's about moving people emotionally. It's about triggering change, being catalytic, recuperating something, reconnecting places to places, people to places, people to people, transforming in some way a current situation and reinvigorating or giving a new lease of life to something. That was one key idea. Another one was that there was a sense in which the work in its thinking and in its realization was always going to be provisional. Temporary was the term that came up just now. That it wasn't about predetermination, but about a sense of becoming. It has a sense of the future or the futural. Then a fascinating topic for architects certainly is the idea of the ruin or the ruinous and the unrescuable. I find that a sort of tantalizing concept to think about in more depth. The idea of crisis, the point at which something has to change, so taking a situation to a point of contraflecture or radical resetting of that situation. And I think works of art, the best works of art, can do that. They can leverage or shift or completely and catastrophically change one's perspective on things. The machine, the apparatus, the parasite, piece of infrastructure. You know, in some ways what's done with this project could be very instructive at a much larger level in terms of what the city is as an enabling infrastructure, rather than a collection of buildings and streets, but as a sort of, I mean, the metaphor is unfortunate, but as a kind of machine that produces new situations and new conditions. So I'll leave it at that as a kind of, a very quick reflection on my impressions of what I heard, and maybe now turn to the panel might like to reflect on some of those questions, or if you have any questions, we can pick them up now. If I find there's no response, I do have a couple of questions that I could ask, but I think I've said enough. Yeah, okay. How have you found that, particularly if you're not in any way connected with the university or the profession or the academy?